I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy, but every song's like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. The kind of luxe just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee. Let me live that fantasy. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come from money. But every song's like gold teeth, gray goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. The kind of luxe just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. Oh, 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 oh. Bigger than we ever dreamed, and I'm in love with being queen. Oh. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. The kind of luxe just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and maybe I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy.
Hi everybody, Phil from the Mondays with Millie podcast here. Welcome to you all. This is the 2023 King Charles Coronation Edition. In the first part of our chat today, I actually did a quick on-the-fly recording with Millie during the actual ceremony itself. Millie gets quite emotional, so you'll hear that at the beginning of the episode, and then I called her later in the week to get a bit of a debrief with her. So please enjoy this episode of Mondays with Millie, the King Charles Coronation Edition.
I can now see when the royal family come on the balcony without having to listen to the noise.
I thought I'd just do a quick check-in with you and get your instant reaction about the coronation. When I did call you earlier, you were quite emotional about watching the coronation. Can you tell us a little bit about how you were feeling?
Yes, I can tell you. I'm just watching them come out onto the balcony now. I was very emotional. I suppose, both my mother and father were very, great royalists. And I was thinking about other coronations. And also this one, it's completely different to any, when you think, this has been going on for over 1,000 years. And this one is very, very different, probably never to be repeated, because amazingly, watching the king being crowned was the next two kings. You know, Prince William and Prince George, who are going to be the next two kings. I mean, how amazing is that? Hello?
Hello, Millie.
Hello, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
Good, so am I, I think, yes.
Yeah, you're, how are you feeling after a very, very big weekend, actually? We spoke to you earlier.
I was a bit tired on Monday, actually, but I'm fine now, yeah. There's quite a bit exciting happening, isn't there? You know, for me anyway. I've got Alex coming on Friday to stay for a long weekend. You know, he's going to his friend's wedding party. His friend had to get married. They delayed the wedding twice during lockdown. And then they decided they'd get married and just have 30 guests and then invite all the original guests to a party later on. So it's the party this weekend.
Where is that taking place?
It's at Royal Lytham Golf Club.
Oh, beautiful.
So he's going to come and stay with me. And then, of course, yesterday, Kirsten and Neve were talking to me, as you know, and they booked their flights. And, of course, Kirsten, actually, how she's managed it, I don't know.
Well, manage what? Well, come on, announce to the world what's happening. What she announced?
Well, Kirsten is in her hospital scrub choir, they call it. And they've sung many times. Well, they've been invited over to Geneva for a second time. Last time she said, no, let some of the younger ones go. But this time she's going and she's asked if she can divert, because it's expenses paid, you see. So she's had to ask permission to divert her flight so that on the way home, she can fly from Geneva to England and stay with me for 2 or 3 days.
Isn't that fantastic? Well, I knew about this, of course. I had to keep things under my hat. I had to keep it all quiet.
I thought she'd get permission.
Well, you know, wow, it's an opportunity. What a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity it is to go and...
Yes, yeah.
You know, go over to Geneva, and it's with the World Health Organization, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
So they've got a choir of people from all over, really, haven't they? They've got a mass choir of representatives of people who work in healthcare in different parts of the world, and she'll be representing us, which will be fantastic. And, of course, the most exciting thing is that she gets to come and see you as well, so that's super exciting. So when did you find out the news? You would have been pretty stoked to hear that.
Yesterday, she hinted that there might be a chance. She'd had a good idea. She said this was a week ago, but she said, "Don't bank on it, Mum, because it's just my idea at the moment." And so I reckon she spoke to someone that also had a 92-year-old mother.
I can tell you she's as excited. I mean, it's been a bit of, I have to say, it's quite an involved process to apply for these things. It doesn't happen easily, and it's happened quite quickly. So she only found out about it about 2 weeks ago. It's only just sort of popped up as a possibility. So, yeah, she's absolutely wrapped. I think the closer it gets to her leaving next week, it'll sink in, but that's great. And Neve? What's her news?
If Kirsten loses her voice, she'll have to mime.
Oh, that's right. Well, she won't mind that either. Tell us.
And Neve, has booked a flight as well.
Yep.
Coming on my mother's birthday, October the 13th.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she's, oh, my gosh, you know, for a soon-to-be 19-year-old, it's an exciting trip to go out and go into the world, and
it is.
And she's travelling by herself, so she's pretty brave, I'd have to say. So yeah, so tell when we spoke to you, we were away in Adelaide actually over the weekend, just for a very, very quick visit to stay with some friends in Victor Harbour, and we went to the AFL football match over there to see our team play at Adelaide Oval, which was absolutely fantastic. So it was a whirlwind trip. But we spoke to you, we were watching the coronation on TV at our friend's house, and we gave you a call, and You were, I'd say, quite, you know, you were quite emotional watching it. And you pointed out an obvious truth, and that is that, you know, that's your third coronation you've witnessed. Tell us a little bit about how you felt. What was the experience like seeing your third one?
Well, just one word can describe it: glorious. Wow. It really was. Mm. From start to finish, it was just wonderful. And of course, the beauty of it was, although I can't see faces, I can see shapes, and I could see the crowns and the gold coach and everything. It was a bit frustrating because I couldn't recognise faces, of course. So all the different famous people, I'm sorry, my voice is going a bit this month. You know what happened? I swallowed a fisherman's friend whole. I just put it in my mouth, bent down to pick something up, and it slid down. So it's been a bit funny ever since. It'll take time to dissolve, yes.
Sure. Of course. Well, they're brutal, those things. I just found them a little bit harsh.
Yeah. Anyway, you see, I don't watch BBC very often now. In fact, almost at all, not at all. But I did switch over to them because their announcers, they know all the famous people. They've been doing these sort of things for donkey's years. And they could recognise people, you know, and they say, oh, look who's here now, you know, this is so-and-so, and this is so-and-so. And, you know, she's wearing this, that, and the other. So I quite enjoyed that.
Did you rely on the commentary to help work out who was who? Your mental map of the royal family is quite astonishing, isn't it? I mean, you actually know who's connected to whom, and you've got a very good grasp of the whole lot. I mean, it's actually amazed me over the years how you've been able to, you know, connect all the different... Because it's quite a complicated family, isn't it? Family tree.
It is, really, yes. And, of course, some of them who had the Order of the Garter, you know, Garter Knights, they were there in their cloaks, as Princess Anne was and Prince William, Prince Edward. He is a Garter Knight. So that was quite interesting. I did recognise those. I recognised the cloaks when they came in. I thought, oh, that's so-and-so, you know. And of course, Princess Anne was there in naval uniform, and she had this hat on with a huge red feather in it. So I could make her out very well all the way through.
Do you think the ceremony, having seen two others, does the ceremony, I mean, how much tradition has flowed through?
Tremendous amount, far more than people expected, actually, because I think some people were getting slightly worried that it was going to be, they were going to do too many alterations to bring it more up to date. So, because really, you know, it isn't for the king, it's for the crown, which is different. It's not a personal thing, really. I know he's ordained in that, but it's really the crown that's being retested in a way. And the ceremony was, I mean, they cut it short, you know, it was 4 hours long last time. 4 hours, can you
really
imagine?
For Elizabeth?
Yes, this time it was only 2 hours, I think, and about 10 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you think they dispense with? What do they get rid of?
Probably some of the choral. There was a lot of chanting in the first one, you know, and there was quite a bit of that. There were four main ministers of the church. And they all had the gorgeous cloaks on and everything. But there was, and so there was quite a bit of that formality, but not as much as there was last time, not nearly as much chanting and things, you know. Mm. And also, They didn't sing. They only sang one hymn. So last time there were definitely more hymns.
Where were you for Elizabeth's coronation?
Oh, well, of course, Paul. I only had Paul then, and he was a few months old. And Dorothy had Michael, of course. My sister had her little boy. He was 10 weeks younger than mine. And Terry had married Irene the previous year, and he'd bought this little Bush television. It was a 9-inch Bush. Can you imagine? The size of my iPad. And we were invited round to... They were living with her mother and father. So we were invited round to watch the coronation on this tiny little screen. Fortunately, the babies slept end-to-end on a large settee in the front living room. So they slept through most of it. That was very good, no interruptions. And we all took some food because, of course, food was still rationed then, you know. Mm. Not all of it, but most of it. So we all took, it was like a Jacob's Join thing, you know. And we spent the afternoon there.
You said something to me on the weekend about how much better this one was. But it's interesting because your eyesight is not what it was then, but you said you enjoyed this one more, even though you probably couldn't see
well, as
much.
Well, there was colour, and last time, of course, it was black and white and so tiny, the figures were so tiny. And, of course, in 1937, you didn't see, it wasn't televised, of course. But it showed you on. You had to wait for about 3 days to go and watch it at the cinema.
Oh wow!
And that was the first time I'd been to the cinema. I was 6 years old then. First time I'd been to the cinema, and it was the first time I'd been upstairs on a tram.
Wow!
And we went into the city because the city of Manchester was all lit up, you know.
So your first visit to the cinema was to watch the coronation,
yes,
in 1937. Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's when I got hooked on cinemas.
Ha ha.
I just say on films.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So what do you remember from that experience?
What, 1937?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of the coronation, so much, you know, you mentioned about the tram and everything.
Well, I was at school, of course. I've got a photograph here of myself in the class. I think there's about 20-odd of it in the class. And at the front of it, it's got Coronation 1937, Old Moat School.
Oh, wow. And you've still got that somewhere, have you?
Oh, yes, still got that. And, of course, we had concerts at school. That's when I realised how much fun it was to be in a school play.
Oh, wow. Fascinating. So tell me, what do you think the highlight of this coronation was?
Well, I think, like most people, it was when Prince William knelt in front of his father and kissed him.
Mm-hmm.
There were official people that can lip read, and he said, "Thank you, my boy."
Mm. Yeah.
That was very touching.
Mm.
And also at the concert, you know, on the night after the concert, Prince William gave a speech, and it was entirely off the top of his head. Well, I'm saying he must have planned it, but it was his own. Nobody had written the speech for him. And it was a tribute to his father. He said how proud his grandmother would be of him. And said, "We love you, Pa." I thought that was very nice.
Yeah, you mentioned getting quite emotional watching it. I knew that you would be, that you'd enjoy watching it. You get a lot out of watching the coronation. But I was surprised that you were as emotional as you were. What was behind that?
Well, I started thinking about the two previous ones when my parents were there and my grandmothers were there during the first one in 1937. And then, of course, there was only my father in 1953.
So it was really you were thinking about being with your family and at a special moment and thinking about the experience of being with them, yeah?
Yes. Mm. I know when it was the first coronation, we went to a church called St. Christopher's, and it was well known in Manchester because it had a steeple, and at the top was this huge blue illuminated cross, and at night, of course, you could see it for miles around. And they had a tableau. It was a procession, really, and then a tableau. And the Sunday school, there were nearly 100 children in that Sunday school. My mother and father were Sunday school teachers. And they organised this Children of the World. And you were in fancy dress, and they told you what you had to, you know, you're going to be Indians and you're going to be Chinese and all the rest of it, you know.
Mm.
In pairs, you see. So myself and my brother, we were Indians. And of course, I don't know where they borrowed this huge feathered headdress from, but he was wearing this big headdress. My mother made the costumes, and I know mine was all beaded with tassels and everything, and as the squaw, you know.
So Native Americans. Indigenous Americans.
Right, yes.
Wow.
Native
wow.
Americans.
Mm.
And I do remember that vividly. It was wonderful. I even had moccasins. She's made me leather moccasins as well. And I felt ever so important. And we walked quite a long way, round a whole block, and then into the church for this tableau. And that was at the coronation.
Mm. So this was a special event to mark the event of the coronation.
Yes.
Right.
I think it was really supposed to mark the empire, but of course they made it Children of the World, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a great idea. I mean, an opportunity for kids to dress up. Who wouldn't love that? And who wouldn't remember that? I mean, listening to your recollection of it, you remember the finest details of the costume that you wore and, you know, how many children were there, because it's something that, you know, really burnt into your memory.
Can you imagine having all that many children in a Sunday school now?
Oh, my gosh.
You just wouldn't, would you?
Well, I don't know how many still go to Sunday school. It's one of those things, isn't it?
It is.
A lot has changed, and you know, thinking of that, it's a big challenge for King Charles now in the royal family, because the
very
world.
Of course, they're saying he interferes too much and things like that. But it's his nature, you see, to be interested and give his opinion. Well, he did promise that once he became king, that would all have to go. He wouldn't be entitled to make, his opinions public. He has to be like the Queen and, you know, not say things.
But it's different for him because he's been his own person up to this point. When the Queen became the Queen, the monarch, she was very young, and so people and the world was different. People probably didn't know what her opinions were about anything. She was a bit anonymous, wasn't she? Whereas Charles has had a voice and has been an advocate for things like the environment for a long time. So, and I think when the last two monarchs were crowned, Britain still had an empire.
It did.
And the Commonwealth was a different, it was a different beast, and now that has all changed enormously. So the modern the royal family's had to modernise itself and will need to continue to do that.
Of course, the Prime Minister has an interview with the King every Tuesday, I think it is. Yes, I think it's a Tuesday each week. And it's not recorded that in any way, the conversation. So it can probably give his opinions then, providing the Prime Minister does what they've always done in the past and never open his mouth and say anything. But, I don't know, people these days, they can't be trusted to keep their own counsel, And I know that's hard because I know myself, if I know something, I'll say, oh, guess what, such a thing.
Mm.
But you can't do that when you have a high position of trust.
Mm. Yeah.
And there are too many stories get out about what has been said at different times, which we're not entitled to know about,
Well, what sort of influence do you think Camilla will have?
Oh, tremendous. I think she'll be able to sort of hold him back at times, sort of caution him and calm him down. They do it, say he's very quick-tempered at times because he wants to get things done. And if things aren't happening when they should be happening, he gets irritated. And they made such a big thing about when he was signing after the Queen died and he was in Wales and he was signing this declaration and he got irritated because some absolute idiot hadn't checked that the pen was usable. And of course, he finished up with a handful of ink. It was a fountain pen, which leaked. And she very quickly stepped in, took the pen off him. So she had ink on her hands as well. Took the pen off him, wiped it, sat down and signed her signature as if nothing had happened. And he was in the background. He turned his back and you could see he was absolutely furious.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have been furious too.
Yeah, it's
whoever was responsible, well, they weren't responsible. They didn't do the job. A local government officer that was in charge of that should have checked that everything was correct instead of probably some ordinary clerk. Oh, put a pen out,
It's a bit embarrassing when everyone's watching you too, isn't it?
But I think she will be. He's happy with her. He's very happy with her. And I don't know. Well, you probably don't see him as much as we do, of course, but wherever they go, he always looks round to see that she's there. He always checks where she is. He doesn't sort of get out of the car and wander straight off and leave her. There's always that hesitation like, are you okay?
Mm.
He's always conscious of her being there.
What do you think really stood out as being quite different? I mean, I know they had a big concert afterwards. Lots of celebrations. Was that quite different to Elizabeth's coronation? Was there sort of street parties and things like that back in the day?
Well, there were street parties, but then, of course, the day after the concert, they gave it a name. They'd encourage people to go out and do something, of service, and they had people. They had people picking up litter. They had Prince William and Catherine took the children to this scout camp. And they were doing marshmallows, toasting marshmallows around this fire. and then learning how to, well, Prince George was, it was quite funny really. Prince George was being shown how to use a bow and arrow, you know, archery.
Hmm.
And his mother was there showing him, you see, because she can do archery quite well. And he's pulling it back. And there was a guy stood at the top end there, and he swiftly moved his out of the range, because he was thinking, I'm going to make sure this, where this arrow is going to go, I'm not going to be anywhere near it, you know. It was so funny.
I thought the children were very, you know, I mean, they had to behave very in the correct way, but they did a good job, didn't they? They did their job. Mm.
At one point, little Louis disappeared for a short time, and then he was back again. Yeah, so I don't know whether it was a call of nature or what, he wanted a drink or something, I don't know. But it was very unobtrusive. He was, 1 minute he was there, 1 minute he wasn't there, and then he was back again, you know. Yeah.
What's to come? What's the sort of order of business for Charles? What does he have to do in the immediate future?
Very difficult, really. We've got all these people that are wandering around shouting, "Not my king." There aren't all that many of them, but they're very... the police are in trouble now for arresting. They've arrested 52 people. But six of them, they had to apologise and let them go. Now, these six were people that they arrested before they even did anything, because they knew they were the organisers of different sections of people. It wasn't just the people with the "Not My King" things. It was there were different groups of people with different complaints, you know. But the point was, some of them had bottles of white paint ready to throw on the road and probably hit the carriage or the horses or something. And others had these rape things on them, rape whistles or something, which make a terrifying sound, apparently.
What?
Now, that frightened the horses, you know. I mean, there could have been a tragedy.
Is this people who want to... They're Republican? They don't agree with the monarchy?
Well, not all of them were even... they're people that don't agree with the monarchy, yes. But they weren't all like that. Some of them were about this extinction thing, you know. Something extinction. I forget what... They have all these silly names, you know.
Hmm.
Some of them are about shouting about the world coming to an end. And there's all sorts of reasons. They're a real mixed bag. And they all get together and demonstrate at the same place at the same time. I mean, you know, and now, of course, they're saying, oh, this country's, you know, the free speech, you can't have free speech. Yes, you can, in its place. You can have free speech, you're entitled to it, providing you don't spoil other people's enjoyment and pleasure, you know.
Mm.
And they do it, they just do it deliberately. I mean, you know, they'll go for, well, I wonder what the next one will be. There'll be something at a time which is very busy when people are going away, and then they'll be at the airport, and then they'll go on strike about this, that and the other, just to spoil people's lives. And I don't think they're entitled to do that. If they want to demonstrate, fair enough, go and demonstrate. You don't have to actually interfere and stick yourself to the road and all that carry on, do you? You know?
Yeah. What was your favourite thing about watching the ceremony and the procession?
Well, I enjoyed, of course, I enjoyed seeing the gold coach. It seemed to stand up very well. I think they'd given it an overhaul, you know. And then there were four coaches altogether. So in the second coach, you got Prince William and his family. And then in the third coach, you got Prince Edward and his family, four of them. And then in the fourth coach, there was, I'm trying to think who he was with, but there was Princess Anne's husband was there in the fourth coach with them. Oh, that was it, the Duke and Duchess of Gloucester in the fourth coach. And Princess Anne, of course, was on horseback. She was riding just behind the gold coach. And apparently she came out of the abbey in the round the back door and stopped to speak to Prince Harry briefly, and then threw off her cloak, because she's at Order of the Garter as well, threw off her cloak and leapt onto this horse that was waiting there and galloped away. Apparently it was quite a sight.
The
way to join the procession.
You know, when you went to church on Sunday, were people abuzz about it all?
Oh, yes. Everybody was very excited. And at the end of the service, Alan, the organist, of course, he played all the tunes for us, you know, Rule Britannia and Pomp and Circumstance, you know, and he's very good, he's very, very good on the organ, you know. And, he just played all the tunes, you know, that we, national tunes we had. It was lovely. And then we had the Union Jack out, and we all sang God Save the King, of course.
Fantastic.
So it was a really special service. Yeah. And then we had cakes and sherry. And cups of tea, of course, as well.
A cup of tea chaser for your sherry.
Yes.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right. Well, I'm going to wrap that because I've got to go and pick up the girls.
Yes.
They are... having their paint and sip or something, I think it's called. Did they tell you about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're doing some artwork and they're having a drink together. So, which just sounds
well,
very...
I'm sure their artwork will be better than mine. You know, when I retired, the children bought me paints, oil paints and an easel and everything. I was going to take up art. I wasn't very good, really. And there's a box upstairs. Paul said he would like because he's the only one in the family that can paint, and he can paint, actually. And he said he would like my paint. So I said, well, that box has got your name on it, and it's under the bed upstairs. So when Jenny was helping me, you know, Jenny lives next door. She's my friend. She was helping me, and we were pulling stuff from under the bed, seeing what was in it, and she said, what's all this? And I said, oh, it's for Paul, and opened the box. And of course, some of my painting efforts were there. Well, she just looked at me, you know. There's an unfinished portrait of Neve dressed up. She was 4 years old, I think, then, dressed up in her fancy dress costume. She was supposed to be a Christmas tree. So I attempted to paint it, but it's only half finished. Maybe Paul will finish it and make a decent job of it. You never know.
Yeah. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Well, you'll have to maybe have a go, another go at it, and see if you can do it by touch. And and Kirsten can bring it home with her.
Okay.
Lovely talking to you. Lots of love, Millie.
You too. Lots of love, Phil. Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies. And I'm not proud of my address. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. The kind of luxe just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. My friends and I, we've cracked the code. We count our dollars on the train to the party, and everyone who knows us knows that we're fine with this. We didn't come from money. But every song's like gold teeth, grey goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like crystal, Maybach, diamonds on your timepiece, jet planes, islands, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair, and we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. The kind of luxe just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. Oh, 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 oh. Bigger than we ever dreamed. And I'm in love with being queen. Oh, 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 oh. Life is great without a care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royals. It don't run in our blood. The kind of luxe just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy.